don't just look at your job description as this is what my competency are. Your competency can come from outside of work. It can come from, you know, stuff that's not in your job description.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is Fatima Mirza. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Fatima. One, she created AutoResume, which is a set of scripts that helps ChatGPT write your resume for you completely from scratch. Two, in 2022, she helped a salary negotiation client increase his annual salary by $70,000 a year. I'd call that a win. And three, about 50% of the dresses in her wardrobe are those that she's sewing herself. Very talented. Fatima Mirza, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me and for that warm introduction.
Delighted to be speaking with you. And you are the founder of Career Tuners, a company that helps people find their ideal job, apply for it, and win the process and get the best compensation in the process as well. So there's a process that they have to go through. And looking for jobs is not something that I don't think any of us look forward to. It's like, oh, darn. And we do it it's not something we run into doing. Because we're not trained to do it, we're not trained. And every time we go through it, we are subject to being rejected. So we have to get good at rejection. The interview process itself is a key part of that. And that's something that a lot of people approach with trepidation. They're quite nervous and they don't necessarily perform well. Why do you think they suffer so greatly in an interview situation?
I think it's because you're putting your self-worth on the line, and that's really difficult for a lot of people. You're asking to be judged, and that's not fun. But if that's something you're struggling with, I recommend going out there and interviewing with companies that you just don't even want to work with. This will give you practice. You can even practice negotiating with them. This will help you see, you know, potentially what kind of salary you get, what kind of questions you get, make the process a lot less anxiety inducing in the future.
Now that sounds like a great idea. So practice your interviewing for jobs that you don't really want.
Exactly.
Because you won't feel under pressure, and therefore you probably perform better because you're more relaxed and more kind of, well, I don't really care if I get this job or not, but yeah, I'll just be myself.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's probably that's a great idea for people to do. And what parts of the interview do people need to get better at?
I think the entire messaging, the entire intended message that you have in an interview, it really has to show that I am speaking directly to your business needs. I know the job description inside and out, and all of my answers are speaking to some point of that job description in some way.
I always wondered about the question, tell me about yourself. Mm-hmm. And I used to think that was a lazy question, but then later I realized it's actually a brilliant question because people tend to answer it poorly. Mm-hmm. What do they do wrong? What should they do instead?
Yeah, I think people tend to focus too much on themselves and their history as opposed to contextualizing what they've done to whatever the job is hiring for. Transitions are so common now, transitioning from one field to another. So focusing too much on the field that you're trying to leave is not a good idea. Even in that question, tell me about yourself, you have to talk about, you know, basically give the interviewer this message that I'm the exact right fit for this position. I've been working towards this position my entire career history. I have the adequate training for this position, and I know the hard work that it's going to take for me to succeed in that position.
Mm. And I recall long time ago when I was going through job interviews, and I finally realized one day that tell me about yourself, what it really means is, why should we hire you? That's what
exactly.
It really
Yeah. There's a bunch of reasons why interviewers ask that. Like, I sometimes interview with people that have really bad resumes, and then their answer to tell me about yourself is so interesting. I'm like, wow, your resume doesn't have any of this. So I think it can be a great way for you to show off and really show that you're passionate about the role that you're interviewing for.
Mm. And what other questions do people tend to have? Do they mishandle?
A lot of questions that relate to like red flags, potentially, that your resume might be giving off, maybe employment gaps. Maybe you have, you know, moved around a lot. Maybe you've had a business and you're trying to transition back into the workplace. Maybe you're changing fields. You are overqualified. You know, there's all these issues that give people basically the following hesitations. You're a flight risk. I don't know if you have the skills for this job. I think you're going to ask me for too much money. So these are the three concerns that if you can kind of, you know, massage your messaging around, you can get that job anyway.
What if a person has had several jobs in just a few years' time? Mm-hmm. How do they address that in the interview?
By showing the interviewer that you left each job on good terms, you weren't fired, you weren't leaving after burning bridges, you weren't leaving just because, hey, I'm bored here, you know? And the best way to do that is by adding in a recommendation, like a simple one-line recommendation from your boss, and making sure your resume shows that you achieved everything that you were hired to do. If your resume is really like, okay, this is what I was responsible for, then they don't know what you achieved. They don't know if your boss hated you. So kind of taking care of those concerns will help you get the interview and get the job anyway.
Now that's an interesting two viewpoints there. So too many people talk about on the resume and in person, here's what I was responsible for versus mm-hmm. which more important, here's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what, and that's the question that I imagine that they need to address throughout the resume.
Yeah. Just because you were responsible for something doesn't mean you did it. Right.
Mm.
So you have to show that you did it and that you did it well and that you could do it better than anyone else who's interviewing for that position.
What about the question, tell me about your weaknesses?
Oh, I really like that question because it allows you to show off a couple of skills, your self-awareness, your ability to problem solve, and also how you're perceived by others. So the simple structure to answering that question is, this is the weakness. Here is what I understand, where the implications on my work, and this is what I've done to resolving the weakness in the past. You don't want to pick a weakness that's going to completely undermine your ability to do the job. And you don't want to pick a weakness that's totally clashing with the company's culture. But you do have to pick a real weakness. Like, you can't be like, oh, I set the bar too high. It can be something like, I set the bar high and I'm a little competitive. But recently, I've tried to include my teammates more because I realized that it was, you know, hurting them or something. So I have a couple of templates on my website that you can kind of copy and paste your experience into. That's a question that you're struggling with.
Mm. What other tough questions have you encountered?
Anything that relates to those red flags that I was mentioning really trips people up because they're like, I don't know how to talk about this. So if you go into that a little bit prepared, then that's good because then you know how to talk about it. You're kind of addressing the elephant in the room from the very beginning and you're going to approach the rest of the interview with confidence. And the other question that I think people struggle a lot with is that question, tell me about yourself. You have to make sure that it's related to what your interviewer is exactly hiring for. You don't want to give any more information than that. You just want to cover the job that you're trying to interview for. That's it.
What happens when a person, the candidate, just goes on too long? How do they know when it's time to stop talking?
You should ideally try to keep your answers like 1 to 2 minutes. You want to give the interviewer a chance to kind of mentally reset, because if you keep talking for too long, they might get disengaged. They only have a very limited attention span. So when I say 1 to 2 minutes, like you're probably not going to have a timer on you, but discreetly counting on your fingers can help. 1 to 2 minutes is about 5 to 10 sentences. And if you're like, man, I'm really like short selling myself, I should be talking more about this. Once in a while, it's okay for one of your answers to be a little bit longer. But if you keep doing that, one way to kind of stop yourself is saying, I could talk more about this if you like, because the simple act of the interviewer going, okay, yeah, go on. It allows them to, again, reset their attention span so they can pay attention to the rest of your answer better.
Yeah. And now that's another interesting insight. So people might feel compelled to want to tell everything, but the interviewer doesn't really want to know everything. So if I'm being interviewed, how do I set up my answer to indicate that there's more without giving everything?
I think exactly saying that, like, I can talk more about this if you like, I think that's good, because they'll be like, no, I think that you covered enough. Or they'll be like, I would love to learn more about this specific thing. And they can ask a follow-up question to dig more. So I think just using that exact verbiage should work.
And what about when it's time for the candidate to ask a question? What questions should they be asking?
I actually don't think you should be saving your questions to the very end, because how they answer is going to help you understand what your intended message needs to be, right? So if you ask kind of towards the beginning, like, can you tell me a little bit more about why this position is open? Can you tell me a little bit more about whoever you're hiring, what do they need to achieve in the first 6 months? So they're going to tell you everything they're struggling with in those answers. And then you can speak to that and make sure you frame your answers around that.
And yes, you're right. It's better to ask them questions near the beginning, not at the end. At the end, it's over and they don't care anymore. Yeah. And you can't use what you just learned.
Exactly. You can ask like a few polite questions at the end, like, oh, what do you love about working at this company? Like, you can make the interviewer feel good about themselves. But yeah, those really important questions that are going to help you do better on the interview, ask them in the beginning.
During an interview, sometimes the topic of money comes up. And if the interviewer brings up that question, how should the candidate answer that?
It depends on, you know, where you are. So if it's in the very beginning, you don't want to give away a number immediately. You can say something like, I'd love to share a range after getting to know the scope of the role a little bit better and understanding what your hiring needs are. And because, I mean, like, yeah, we have to, as candidates, if we're commuting, that's extra money, like, you got to be asking for, right? And all of that. So getting to know the role a little bit better first is important. Later, if it's, you know, down the line where they're like, okay, this is our budget, is this okay with you? You can come back and say something like, well, you know, my market research has shown that a fair rate for somebody with my skills is going to be X, Y, and Z. Is it possible that you can meet that? Right.
Oh, okay. Now that's an interesting way to put it. It's not that you have to pay me this much. It's my research shows that here's what it should look like. So, so that actually gives credit. So it's not you being the difficult one. Here's what the research shows.
And that exactly
makes it more credible.
The research shows that someone with my skills and experience should be getting paid about this much. You can make it more assertive if you want, but I think that word research is really critical. Yeah.
And what about the format of the interviews? Today, the interview could be online. It could be in the room. It could be by phone. What should one be aware of what to do in these different formats? Where are the mistakes? Each of them, they must have weaknesses. And so how do you address that?
Well, the biggest one that I can think of that I run into all the time when I'm interviewing is the other person is having technical issues. So make sure 5 to 10 minutes before the interview, you're testing out everything with a friend, like literally call another friend using your computer or call them with your phone or however else you're going to be joining that meeting. If possible, like put together like a Zoom link if you're going to be having a Zoom interview and see if it's working on your end. So if everything needs to do an update, it's not happening like, you know, 2 minutes into the interview.
Okay. Check the tech ahead of time. Exactly. Yes. And we're all learning to do that these days. That's for sure.
Yes.
At what point during the interview should the candidate explore storytelling or even humor?
I think, you know, if that's who you are, if you generally try to lead with humor, make sure that's a part of your interview. Like I had this client who was very homosexual and he was like, I'm getting discriminated against all the time. Like my colleagues are bullying me. They're homophobic. He was working in a conservative area. And I said, look, make sure that's a part of your messaging from the very beginning. Talk about how you participate in the Pride Parade in, on your resume. Like, you know, just be yourself in the interview. Make sure that this is a two-way street, right? Like they're interviewing you and you're also presenting yourself to make sure that's not going to be a clash in the future. So humor, storytelling, if that's who you are, that's how you lead, work that into your interview within reason, right? You don't want to ramble.
So let your personality show.
Definitely. Yeah.
Which is the same time you as the candidate, you want to find out what the personality, the culture is of the corporation.
Exactly. Exactly.
And if you don't like their culture, their values, then you better find out now. And if they don't like you, your culture, then you might as well find out now.
Yeah, yeah. And there's companies out there looking for people exactly like you. If you're a minority who's, you know, covering your hair for religious reasons, there are companies that are looking for someone exactly like you who has your look. So don't filter yourself out. Don't feel like you need to change who you are. If it has nothing to do with the work that you're doing, like it doesn't matter, right? So be yourself and speak concisely and make sure you're speaking in a way that makes them feel like, yeah, she can come in and do the job great.
What happens if partway through the interview, the candidate just goes blank? Mm-hmm. they're just so nervous. They're just so tense. Their mind just goes blank. How do they recover?
A little bit of humor can help if you feel like you have that mental dexterity at the moment. Like I had a client who froze. And she was doing, she was applying for like a medical profession. And she was like, yeah, I'm displaying signs of anxiety. This is what the reading or like the reading is showing that this person is displaying signs of anxiety, kind of like probably how I'm doing right now. And I got like a chuckle out of everybody. So just joking about it, being like, sorry, sometimes I get a little nervous when I'm interviewing. That's fine. I mean, unless you're applying for like an executive level position where you have to be polished and perfect all the time, a little bit of honesty doesn't hurt.
Mm. And so there's where it helps to admit that, hey, I'm human.
Yeah. 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 Rather than your intended message, you know, your messaging being like, oh my God, George is unprepared. George doesn't know what he's talking about. It's more like, oh, George just froze because this is a stressful situation that I have also experienced, you know? So yeah, that's what you're doing there.
Hmm. What other difficult questions do people have a challenge with?
I think even like, tell me about your strengths. Like they'll pick strengths that don't really relate to the job. You know, you don't want to say, oh, I'm such a fast learner when the job is all about being experienced and leading with authority. Things like that. Like make sure you're picking strengths that really speak to their cultural values for their specific team. Because I can differ, like in Amazon, you know, you might say I'm a fast learner for one job at Amazon, but not for the other. So make sure you're contextualizing.
How much talk should there be about non-business issues, about personal life?
I would say like not too much. Like you don't want to talk about your personal life more than, let's say, 5% of the interview. Like your answer to the very first question, like walk me through your resume or tell me about yourself. You can have one sentence in there, something that you might not find on my resume is that I'm a triathlete or, you know, whatever, whatever thing makes you seem interesting and cool. And the thing that you talk about in your personal life, it should support your candidacy in some way as well. Maybe you started a book club and you think this shows that I'm well-read. Maybe you're a triathlete and this shows I'm young and I'm full of energy. That kind of thing. So pick something from your personal life that really helps you come across as a likable person.
Mm. And in your experience in interviews, what has been one of the biggest disasters that you've witnessed?
Anytime I think when people focus too much on their red flags, it's a disaster. Like you said the thing about, you know, your personal life. How much should you talk about your personal life? You should not draw attention to something that can give the interviewer this message that you are incompetent or unable to perform because you're distracted outside of your work, right? Like if you're going into the interview and you're like, yeah, I'm also working on like 3 startups on the side, that might be a good thing for certain positions. Like if you're going to, I don't know, be an advisor to startups or something, but like otherwise it can give this message that you're distracted and you don't know, they don't know if you can focus on the job enough, right? So focusing on your personal life too much, focusing on the red flags in your resume too much can really detract from your candidacy. And these are the biggest disasters that I've seen, because you're like, oh no, I shouldn't be talking about this. And you're getting anxious and then you keep talking about it. So just try to not give away too much information when it comes to that.
Mm. And when do you think they finally relax? Because when you come into the interview, mm-hmm. that's when there's the most tension, right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And perhaps you shake hands, you say hello, you sit down, and you're waiting for the tough questions. At what point do you think the candidate relaxes? And how can they get there faster?
I think never. Like, it's very hard to relax. I think some interviewers do a really good job of helping you relax. But like, sometimes the person on the other side of the table is totally incompetent. They don't know how to interview. They're asking you all these tough questions that have nothing to do with your capabilities. So if you want to exert control back in those situations and kind of regain your sense of confidence, you could say like, this has been really great. I do think there's something that we're not talking about, and I'd love to talk about, let's say the job says they want you to develop sales roadmaps. You could say something, I saw in the job that you need help with sales roadmaps. This is something I've done. I'm really good at it. Here's some, you know, can I talk about this a little bit more? And they'll say yes. And you then, I think, really get a chance to relax, because you're like, okay, I know I have presented everything about myself that relates to the job description. And you don't walk away with that pit in your stomach of, oh my God, it messed something up, you know?
Now, there's a good point you point out. Sometimes the interviewer is not that good. They're not mm-hmm. that experienced or skilled, or they might just hate interviewing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now it's up to the candidate to save the interview.
Yeah, yeah. And I think anybody should do this before the interview, you know, make a list of like, okay, here are the five things I have to convey, and like mentally kind of go down that checklist towards the end of the interview. If you haven't gotten to those five, make sure they don't walk away without them knowing that.
Should one take notes into an interview?
I think it depends. Like, I know in like Eastern cultures, it's considered a sign of being, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it shows that you're diligent and that you respect the other person. However, in some countries, it can be seen as, wow, this person's really dumb. They're not going to remember this. You know what I mean? So I think it really depends. I think in the United States in general, like, if you feel like it's going to help you, go for it. But don't make it to the point that you're not even able to give them eye contact. Like, make sure you're actually having a conversation. Take notes as minimally as possible.
And is it a good idea when you get asked a tough question? Mm-hmm. Is it okay to buy time? And how do you buy time? Because there's a question that came out of left field. You weren't expecting it. How do you buy time to give yourself to think without babbling? What can you do?
I think it's okay to ask for a second to think about it. And you can even compliment the interview a little bit. You can say, wow, that's a really great question. Let me think about how exactly blah, 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 and like rephrase their question and give yourself like, you know, 2 seconds, and then you can mentally like outline your answer, because like those tough questions are designed to get you to babble, right? Like, they want to help you help them screen you out. So outline your answer mentally. This is what I'm going to talk about. That way you're not giving away more than you intend.
And you raise another good point there, Fatima. Candidates sometimes mistakenly believe that the interviewer, the hiring manager, is trying to get the best person for the job. Mm-hmm. However, I think what they're really trying to do is not get the worst person. They're actually trying to protect their own position.
Yeah.
And to be able to defend their decision,
right,
based on their observations. So they're not necessarily looking for the best person, even though they say they are.
Yeah, that's very true. Like, a mediocre person is all they're really looking for in most cases, right? Unless they're hiring for an executive role. So if you can just show, I do the bare minimum and I do pretty good job of it, that's more than enough in some cases.
In some cases, not all, but in some
not
cases.
Not all. No, definitely not
and,
all.
And in that case, it's the hiring manager simply wants to check all the boxes. Check.
Right. For like entry-level positions, that's primarily what they're looking for. Some positions, they are just trying to pay like the bare minimum. And if you are like, I'm the best and I'm going to be expensive, you know, that your intended message is kind of clashing with what they're hiring for. But that's okay. I mean, you can find a company that is trying to hire the best if that's what you want. If you want like a really high paying job, maybe that company's not right for you. But yeah, sometimes they're just looking to hire someone mediocre.
And at what point does one discuss or learn about, explore other benefits from the company? For example, extra education or pay for memberships in associations or such. When does that come up?
I think some companies like to kind of advertise that from the very beginning. So you can kind of compliment them on that. You can be like, I really love, you know, the fact that you focus so much on continuing education. It's what attracted me to apply because I think, you know, this is going to be really helpful to me in my career. However, if they're not doing that, the second best chance to do this is when you're extending a counter offer. Like if you are like, okay, I want $180,000 and they're like, we'll give you 160. You can say, I want 170 plus I want these benefits. These benefits can include health benefits, time off, flexible working, you know, whatever's important to you basically.
Okay. And Fatima, for those that might want to learn more about you and your services, the place to find you is your website, and that is where?
CareerTuners.com.
And for those who also want, there are free resources there.
Yes.
And they're at, what page is that?
That's careertuners.com/podcasts. So it's CareerTuners.com. There you can grab my salary doubling cheat sheet. You can grab my how to counter a lowball and not burn that bridge. You can grab my template for writing a cover letter. So I put out a lot of free resources and you can grab them all at careertuners.com/podcasts.
And you can find those links in the description below. Fatima, as we prepare to wrap up, if you could sit down with a candidate who's applying for management jobs, they're looking to grow their career, and if you could give them one, two, or three pieces of advice on how they can be better prepared for more successful interviews, what might be that one, two, or three pieces of advice? And maybe it's something you said already.
No, I think, you know, don't just look at your job description as this is what my competency are. Your competency can come from outside of work. It can come from, you know, stuff that's not in your job description. Like if you're interviewing for a first-time management position and they're like, well, I see you've never managed anyone. You can say, no, but I onboarded a lot of people. I train them. I'm the go-to mentor. You know, I'm the person that everyone reaches out to when they have a question. So I also follow up on their performance. I make sure they're doing okay. This is not on your job description. That doesn't mean you can't talk about it. And it does not mean that it's not valid. Also, if you're not being paid for something, it does not mean that that experience is not valid. Feel free to talk about your volunteer experience. If, you know, you're trying to apply for like a principal position and you've only ever been a school teacher, maybe you created the curriculum for an entire after school program. Yeah, you bet outside your hours. It does not mean it's not valid, right?
Powerful. Powerful tips, great advice. My guest today is Fatima Mirza, reminding you to be ready for the question, tell me about yourself.
If you like what you heard, tell your friends and post your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts because that helps more listeners find us. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.